Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Samech Zayin. We are starting today in Samech Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting five lines from the top of the Amud with the words Hayabastia. We are on the discussion of Nosin Tam Rav Gam, and we are going to be moving to a discussion of Aroma and what the Gemara refers to as Recha. The Gemara is moving on to this discussion as a segue from yesterday's discussion, because yesterday we talked about introducing wine into vinegar. What introducing wine to vinegar, as the wine goes into the vinegar and enters into the container, so what happens with the wine is that it starts taking on some of the properties of the vinegar, notably it starts smelling like vinegar. And the Gemara's question yesterday is that when it starts smelling like vinegar, although it still tastes like wine, so then how do we define it? Do we find it as vinegar? Do we find it as wine? And that's an important question, because it's a question of whether or not it's min b'mino or min b'sheino mino. Min b'sheino mino, min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino, which was really yesterday's discussion. We know that by min b'sheino mino, it's been seen as tam, and it's only going to, the tarovus, the mixture, is only going to be aser if there's enough of the iser where it actually makes a contribution of taste. But short of that, it's not going to be aser, but as opposed to min b'mino, where it's aser b'mashehu. I already noted yesterday a couple of times that min b'mino is aser b'mashehu is the opinion of yesterday's daf. Rashi says that's the halacha throughout Shas, but the Balei HaTosfos disagree with Rashi, and they'll simply tell you that yesterday's daf was talking about Yai Nesach, and that's why min b'mino is aser b'mashehu. But in any event, so that was the discussion we had yesterday. So as the wine is being poured into the vinegar, it starts smelling like vinegar, and is that going to be significant? While we're on the topic of smell and the sense of smell, so the Gemara now takes us to a related topic, and this is now the classic discussion in the Gemara of Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsahi. And let's begin the Gemara inside Hai Basti. So you have Basti. Basti is a way in which they would smell the wines to make sure that the wines were still good. And what they would do is that they would punch a hole in the stopper of the wine, and they would take a nice sniff through that hole. So it is now in a barrel of wine. It's a very small hole, so that aroma that's going through that small hole is really intense. Rashi over here just gives a very brief description. They would punch a small hole in order to examine it to see whether or not it can last. In other words, is it going sour or is it not going sour? If you look at the side of the Gemara over here, really interesting, and I'm going to make a suggestion in terms of why he says it, but he quotes in the name of the Aruch that, like Rashi, it's a small hole that's put into the barrel in order to smell it. They would actually put their mouth over that hole. Now that's strange, by the way. Usually if you're smelling, you're going to be smelling with your nose. But in a moment, I'm going to tell you why it is, why I think it is, that he insists that you're putting your mouth over the hole. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to explain. But in the meantime, however, we're back to the Gemara. So if a guy were to smell the wine of a Jew through this manner, the wine is fine. Meaning he didn't manipulate the wine, he didn't do anything to the wine, he didn't physically touch the wine. All he did was just smell the wine, and therefore it does not create Yai Nesach. However, Yisrael B'Dovi Kochavim, but let's now reverse it. Let's say it's non-kosher wine, and let's say you have a Jew smelling it. Is that okay or is that not okay? Abaye Amar Aser Rav Amar Mutter. So it's a machlok between Abaye and Rav. Abaye Amar Aser Recha Milsehi. Abaye says it's Aser, and he says that Recha is significant, the aroma is significant. And what does that mean? According to Abaye, what does that mean, aroma is significant? Okay, so you smelled it. And let's say aroma is significant. And so what? In other words, and now, is it a question of, did you violate Nisr Ana? Did you violate Nisr Shtiyah? So if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos writes, Abaye Amar Aser Recha Milsehi, he writes very clearly, V'chashvinan lei kishosa. Because the amount of aroma that's coming through that small hole is such an intense aroma, so it's tantamount, it's ki'ilu, as if you drank it. And so therefore, it's like you're drinking Yai Nesach. So the, and now I'm going to go back to that Aruch that I quoted just a moment ago. And the Aruch says, then you're putting your mouth over the hole. In other words, not putting your nose over the hole. And so you take the Aruch and you put it together with Tosfos, and basically we're painting a picture of, it's basically an intense infusion that goes into your mouth. And even though it's not a liquid, it's in its gas form, but still, it's kishtiyah, it's like you're drinking it, and therefore, according to Abaye, it's going to be prohibited to do that activity. And by the way, now you go back to the first case where you had the non-Jew doing it with Jewish wine, now you understand it's a chiddush. Because if a non-Jew were to drink the wine of a Jew, so that l'chora, ostensibly, that would be samyenam, that would be yai nesach, if he were to physically drink from the wine. Okay, in other words, we talked at length at the end of the fourth parak about maga, about when the non-Jew makes contact with the wine. We did say that contact with the foot is not significant. We talked about contact with the hands. Mouth is like the hand, maybe. Anyway, but certainly the point is that now you understand, you hear this a lot better. Meaning when the non-Jew is smelling the wine of a Jew, it's tantamount to drinking. You can make an argument that it's usur, and that's exactly the first point of the Gemara. It's not usur, it's mutter. Conversely, if a Jew were to do this kind of intense sniffing of the wine of a non-Jew, so according to Abaye, it's usur, according to Rav, it's mutter. Now, we're back in the Gemara, Rav Amar Mutter Rechalav Milsihi. Now, Rav says it's mutter because the aroma is not significant. Now, Amar Rav Menamin Allah Derechalav Lav Klumhu. So says Rava, how do I know that that aroma is not significant? I know from the following, it's a Mishnah Truma. It's none. Tarashi Yisika Bekamon Shel Truma. So let's say you had cumin, and the cumin was Truma cumin. In other words, the farmer took off his cumin, right, to harvest his cumin from the farm, and gave a percentage to the Kohen. That percentage of cumin now given to the Kohen is Truma. And good for the Kohanim, not good for the rest of us. The rest of us are not allowed to eat it. And so what happens now when this kimon shel truma, the truma kumin now is added, is in an oven and used to infuse an aroma in the oven. V'afa bo sapas, and in said oven, you bake bread. Hapas mutar safi, shein tam kamon ela recha kamon. So the Mishnah says that the bread is mutar because it doesn't have the taste of the kumin, it only has the aroma of the kumin. And so clearly over here, from this Mishnah and Trumas, you get the very clear sense that aroma is not significant. Rechalav milsi. Va'abaye. Now as far as baye, he'll counter and he'll say, look, that Mishnah over here is not going to affect our discussion. Because over there, Shani Hasam demikle yisure. Well, you are burning the cumin in the oven. So the cumin's getting burned up. Okay, there may be some residual aroma, but in other words, but while you're burning the cumin up, so then the recha lav milsi, the recha is insignificant.
How can we say recha is insignificant? We make a bracha on the summit.
Okay, good. Meaning it's a hana. The Gemara, right, let's not confuse brachas and birchas ananin and a contributing taste to another food. Meaning we're talking about whether or not it's significant vis-a-vis its contribution towards another food. Meaning if you and I were to smell it, so that's a benefit, that's a hana, we're going to make a bracha. But over here, is it significant enough that when added to another food, it's now considered that food is going to be usur, right? If I'm adding a liquid into another food, if I'm adding a solid to another food, so the usur is there. Here, it's just an aroma. It's just a couple of gas particles of the item. And yeah, it's true. In other words, in its gas form, it's, you know, particles are more separate from one another, but still, it's aroma. It's just aroma. And it's not enough to asur another food. Amar Rav Mari Kitanai. Now Rav Mari says that this is in fact a machlokas Tanayim and the Mishnah. Another Mishnah over there in Truma. So Rodapas Chama v'nasan sapi chavishol yain shel Truma. A case over there, not where I'm baking the bread, but bread that's placed over a barrel of wine. So, and it's hot bread. So in other words, so it's a hot bread where it's softer, it's more absorbent, and it's placed directly over a barrel of wine of Truma. Rav Meir Oster, Rav Yehuda Matir. So there are going to be three opinions on the matter. Rav Meir says that it's Oster, Rav Yehuda says that it's Mutter, and Rav Yossi, Matir B'shol Chitim V'Oster B'shol Sa'orim M'nesha Sa'orim Shel Avos. And Rav Yossi strikes a compromise position. If the bread is made up of wheat, so then it's going to be Mutter. If the bread is made up of barley, it's going to be Oster. Barley is more absorbent, and barley is Shoev. It attracts and it draws more of the wine that comes off the barrel. So now, machlokus between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi's compromised position, but what's a machlokus? Ostensibly, machlokus is exactly what we're discussing. My love, b'hakim iflugim, marsav arecha milsi, marsav arecha lav, recha velo klumhu. Exactly the debate, meaning everyone's in agreement that there is aroma, a strong aroma coming from the wine and going into the bread, and the question is the aroma significant or not significant? And that lechor is a machlokus between the Tanaim, which again reflects the machlokus amongst the Amoraim. So the Gemara says l'Rav Avad de Tanaihi. So from Rav's standpoint, you're right. Meaning, I'll concede that, yes, I have a machlokus with Abaye, just like Rav Meir has a machlokus Rav Yehuda. You're right. So l'Abaye, mi lema Tanaihi, but what Abaye will tell you is as follows. No, I don't even think it's a machlokus. Meaning Abai will make the argument that everyone agrees with me. Because Amlecha Abai, Lam Yitmar Lam, Rabba Babachanam Reish Lakish. Because on that mission that we just learned together, there was a comment made by Reish Lakish. And the comment goes like this. Pas Chama V'chavis Pesucha. If let's say the bread is hot, and it's placed over the barrel of wine is open. So now I've got two factors that really speak to a strong aroma. Hot bread over an open barrel of wine. Divrei HaKol Asur, as we turn to the top of the Samach Zainam at Aleph, according to everyone, it's going to be prohibited. Pasonenes v'chavis magufa. Now, if the bread is cold and the barrel is closed, divrei HaKol Muteris. Well, you have two factors now that are going to really diminish the aroma. The bread's cold and the barrel's closed. And everyone's in agreement that the aroma is not significant. Lo nechlugu ela v'pas chama v'chavis magufa. If I only had one of those factors, either one of the factors, but not both, that's the machlok shin Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Sorry. That's the machlok shin Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Where if either that bread is hot and the barrel is closed, or the bread is cold and the barrel is open, so then and only then is there a machlokus. Now what are we describing? Meaning where the discussion start with? Where you poked a hole in the spout of the barrel of wine, you put either your nose or your mouth right over the barrel, and you're smelling it, and what Abai is going to argue, v'hadidi, na mikepas chama v'chavis psucha dami. I think this is more categorically like hot bread over an open barrel of wine, where, according to everyone, says Reish Lakish, there's no machlokis, that is a strong aroma, and that's going to infuse the taste. So, Reicha Milsa, Reicha Lav Milsa, it's a machlokis between Abaye and Rava. This will affect, I'll make a brief comment. This is not a halacha. This is the mission over here is not to cover halacha, although that's our mission in general when learning. Should be learning Aliba de Hilchasa, but over here in the daf, we're just, our main goal is to cover the daf and to at least get the basics down. This has a lot of halachic application in terms of using ovens for meat and milk. Meaning when you use one oven for meat and milk, you know, back in the day, by the way, they only had one oven. Meaning the idea that we have multiple ovens, that's a modern phenomena, that's a, you know, we're pampered. So, but that's, you know, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing in this regard. But they had one oven back then, and so when you are taking foods and cooking them together in the same oven, so there's going to be obviously aroma going through the oven from one to the other. And so therefore there's that consideration about our Gemara. Meaning, and basically, whatever you're going to conclude with our Gemara is going to affect the halacha of when foods are cooked together. However, what is not being discussed in our Gemara, and it's just another really important consideration when cooking milk and meat in the oven together, one after the other, is a question of steam. In other words, in addition to the aroma discussion, there's also a question of zeya, of steam. That is not discussed in our Gemara. Look, our Gemara is not really interested in the discussion of cooking meat and milk in the same oven. So in other words, it's not that our Gemara is addressing it, but I'm just pointing out that another really important consideration when talking about cooking two things in the same oven together, not only is there a blending of aromas, which is our Gemara's discussion, but there's also a question of steam. Steam rises to the top, condenses on the top of the oven, on the roof of the oven, and then falls down to the next food that's been cooked. So that's another serious consideration that needs to be had regarding ovens, and in terms of what you do, you know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, and he'll tell you what to do. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara is discussing and debating the question of aroma. Okay.
Together, I don't see it. One after another, maybe okay. The question yeah. Together, surely.
Right, well, the Gemara, again, right, the Gemara over here is just discussing it from a Reich standpoint. Right. The first question is, who would you pass on like Abai and Rava? Meaning, obviously, generally speaking, we pass on like Rava over that of Abai. There's only six exceptions where we pass on like Abai over that of Rava. So seemingly the halacha should follow Rava, that Recha Lav Milsa, Recha is insignificant. If you want a lot more information on the halachic status of Reach, of Recha, so you can go back, I'm not going to go through it now, but you can go back to Tosfos on Samach Vav Amid Beis. The big Tosos, Dibra Maskel, Rava Amar, Tosos talks about not one who we follow like. Do we follow like Rava or Abaye? Tosos happens to himself passing like Rava. Rashi passes that way as well. That's what Tosos gives credit. And then a question of when do we have to take Recha into consideration? Meaning, look, we just followed the Gemara where the Gemara talks about. There is an intensity of Recha. Sometimes it's it's something significant, sometimes it's something insignificant, and Tosfos just goes from there and takes all those principles and applies it to ovens. So anyway, so take a look back at Tosfos, where he discusses it in much greater detail. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We're on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, we're at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, Zaklal, Kol Shabbat Nosim and Nosim Tam. Our discussion now is going to be a question of Nosim Tam of Gam. Nosim Tam of Gam is a really interesting topic with a lot of halachic ramifications and basically what we learned back in the Mishnah. If you remember, if you go back to the Mishnah introduced us to the topic of Nosim Tam of Gam, and what the Mishnah taught us is that if I'm adding a food to another food, and that which I'm adding is asr, but it is not making a positive contribution to the dish. In fact, it's making a negative contribution to the dish. It's diminishing from the taste and the flavor of the dish. So this in halacha is referred to as nosin tam of gam, and therefore the dish is going to be mutter. The Mishnah gives examples where wine is being poured on either figs or dates, where the wine is not making a contributing taste. And again, like we discussed this a couple days ago, meaning who's determining whether it's better or worse. So well, I suggested it a couple days ago. In other words, we'll look at what is consensus. In other words, I don't think we're going to get 100% in anything. But we look at general consensus of how people feel, and if it's not making the contributing factor, it's going to be mutter. The end of the Mishnah gives an example. Well, first, the end of the Mishnah gives us a klal. I'm just going back to the Mishnah. I'm reading the Mishnah inside. On Samach Hamid Bey, Zeh HaKlal, says the Mishnah. This is a general rule. Kol Sheba Anasa Benosin Tam Asa, Kol She Ein Be'anasa Benosin Tam Mutter. So if what you're adding is making a contribution, it's giving a Hana'ah, so then if it in fact infuses a flavor, it's going to be Asar. But Kol She Ein Be'anasa Benosin Tam. But if it's not beneficial, but rather detrimental, it's going to be Mutter Kigon. And then the Mishnah gives an example, chomet shenafal gabe grisin. So another example that the Mishnah gives is vinegar on beans. Vinegar on beans is not making a positive contribution, says the Mishnah, and therefore it's an example of nosin tam of gam. If the vinegar that went down to the beans was aser, let's say the vinegar came from yain nesach, so it was yain nesach on sour, but still it's aser. We've discussed that a number of times through this mesachta. So then when that vinegar is added to beans, because the addition of vinegar is not a positive contribution, but rather a negative contribution to the beans, therefore the beans are going to be usher. Okay. Now,
is the Mishnah negative or just not positive?
The Mishnah just said it's an example. Kigon.
Not positive.
Of not positive.
So it doesn't say negative.
Okay.
Because it's a good negative.
I'll share,
it doesn't change the taste, and then what should it be?
In a moment, I'll share a Rashi with you that speaks to this idea. Okay. So before going with the up, well, I'll just read one line of Gemara and then I'll share more information. Amar of Yuram Shmuel Hachi Hilchasa. So the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel that this was in fact the halacha, meaning Nosin Tam of Gam is the halacha. Now it's a little bit interesting that he's paskening because nobody's arguing in the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah is presenting this as a rule and no one balked at it, meaning and so why does he have to set forth that this is a halacha when no one's arguing with it? So if you stay with me a little bit longer today, you will see why it is that he's saying that this is the halacha.
Did they say that they have cracks in the figs and...
Yes, that's correct. That's right. In other words, that's when you're adding wine to grapes. But adding wine to grapes is not detrimental. But in other words, when it is detrimental, so then it's less than tam of gam, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay, so later on we'll understand why it is that the Gemara is ruling in this manner. Okay, in order to appreciate the Gemara that we're about to learn together, you have to just simply accept an assumption of the Gemara. Rashi speaks out the assumption. When we're talking about vinegar being added to beans, so it depends on whether the beans are hot or the beans are cold. So when vinegar is added to hot beans, the beans are currently being cooked and they're hot, or even if they're taken off the fire, but they're hot, so that will serve as not a benefit towards the beans, but that will be a detriment to the beans. Okay. If, however, the beans are cold, it's mashbiach. It improves the cold beans. Okay. Now, again, I'm not really the connoisseur to begin with. It's a whatever. It is an assumption. It's an assumption of the Gemara. In other words, like I do often. In other words, I accept the assumption and we go forward with the Gemara and we'll appreciate the Gemara once you accept that assumption. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Lo Shana Lo Shanaf Lo Soch Grisin Roschin. So the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel of that. Our Mishnah that says that when you add vinegar to the beans, and if the vinegar is also, the beans are still going to be mutter, because this is an example of nosin tam of gam, that's only when the beans are hot. Aval. Nafal soch gris and so on, and then we hear sichan. However, let's say when the vinegar was added to the beans were cold. So now the Mishnah is not discussing that scenario. And because when vinegar is added to cold beans, it's going to improve the quality of the beans and improve the taste of the beans. Therefore, the beans are going to be also, even if afterwards, subsequently, I were to then cook the beans up, it's still going to be usr. Nasa kemishi yishbech lesof pagam v'usr. It's going to be usr. V'chein ki usr rav v'nam rav v'chan nam rav yochan lo shenu ala shenafel lesof gris and roschin, aval nafel lesof gris and son nevir sichan nasa kemishi yishbech lesof pagam v'usr. And then the Gemara just simply repeats the same statement, but just in the name of a different amora, notably Rav Yochanan. He also agrees that when the vinegar was added to the beans, to the cold beans, because originally it made a positive contribution, even if I subsequently cook it, and then you have hot beans and vinegar, but since it started off as cold beans and vinegar, it is not an example of nosin tam of gam, and it therefore is going to be usr. V'chein ki usr Rav Dimi v'chulei, and Rav Dimi also coming in from Eretz Yisrael quotes the same thing in the name of Rav Yochanan, etc., etc. The kacha yosin be'arvei shabbosos b'tzipori, and the Gemara makes an incidental point, which is that, you know, in the town of Tzipori, so in their Shabbos preparation, so what they would do is that they would make this dish of beans and vinegar. Cold beans, I assume. In other words, it's a good dish. V'karon osom shechlaim. And from this point going forward, whenever you see the word shechlaim in the Gemara, it comes up every now and then. So what is that? So now we know. It's a special Shabbos dish of beans and vinegar. And in Tzipori, that's what they do. And they love it. Okay. I'm Rish Lakish. Now, here we go with two statements of Reish Lakish. So we are now looking at the following principle in Kashrus, and that is the principle of Nosin Tam of Gam. Nosin Tam of Gam now tells me that if I'm adding a food to a dish, and the food is not making a positive contribution, but rather it is negatively impacting the dish, so then this is the principle of Nosin Tam of Gam, and therefore the dish is going to be mutter. Okay, even if I could taste it, but it's not making a positive contribution, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So now, this obviously needs serious qualification. Because look, when I'm making a dish, whatever I'm making, and I'm adding a food, and let's say if I just added this food by itself, it wouldn't be good. But a dish isn't just simply a blend of two foods. In other words, we're going to be adding other things as well. We'll be adding seasoning and salt and et cetera, et cetera. So, when we're talking about this food making a detrimental contribution, what if I added other things to the dish? So now, under those circumstances, is that an example of Nosin Tam of Gam? So in the first version of Reish Lakish, there are two versions of Reish Lakish. The first one's going to be a Chumrah, and the second one's going to be a significant Kula. In the first version of Reish Lakish, we are only going to say Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter, only when this contributing ingredient that I'm adding is going to, by itself, basically ruin the dish. Now, I'm using strong language of ruining the dish. In a moment, I'm going to show you Rashi. It doesn't have to ruin the dish, just simply makes it inferior. But in other words, but this ingredient by itself is going to ruin the dish. However, if by adding other salts, other seasonings, the dish is not ruined, this is not going to be an example of Nosin Tam of Gam. So in other words, in the first version of Reish Lakish, it's a real limitation on the entire principle of Nosin Tam of Gam. I'll read it inside. Am Reish Lakish Nosin Tam of Gam Sha'amru, Lo Shiyamru Kederizu Chaser Melech Yisera Melech, Chaser Tavlin Yisera Tavlin. You know, I know I added this particular ingredient, and I know it didn't serve the dish well, but you know what? You either didn't add enough salt, or you added too much salt. You either didn't add enough seasoning, or you added too much seasoning. It says, the first version of Reish Lakish, it's this ingredient and this ingredient alone, which makes the food, it makes it inedible. Okay, now, the Gemara over here has a very strong language in terms of Nosin Tam of Gam, and that is that because I added this ingredient and this ingredient alone, it renders the food inedible. And under those circumstances, we're going to say Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter. Now, if you think about it, it's like if the food is now rendered inedible, so thank you very much, Mishnah and Gemara, for giving us a principle that has really little application. Because if I can't eat it, so now telling me it's Mutter is not something I'm going to go home with and get excited about. It's not edible. Rashi over here writes, and now I get to share the Rashi. Rashi over here writes, Shum tikun ve'inu nechaz mimnei zeh klamar, ve'isr zeh pogem ta'ama. So Rashi writes, and again, this is now the explanation of the first version of Reish Lakish that we just read. It's this food which is being pogem, which is causing a detriment to the dish. And then Rashi writes, Einu nechalas. Now Rashi says, I know the Gemara. I just like you, just read the wording of the Gemara. Einu nechalas, says Rashi, lav davka. Even though the Gemara uses the words Einu nechalas, do not take that those words literally, says Rashi. Dikevin de begimasa purta, kari la Einu nechalas. Over here, we are all connoisseurs, says Rashi. Meaning, if I taste the dish and I'm like, oh, what was that? Not inedible, but I'm not having that again. Meaning, give it to the kids. let them enjoy it. But in other words, Rashi says the words Einu Nechalas of the Gemara is not to be taken literally. It does not mean literally inedible. It just simply means I prefer not. It's not good. You didn't improve it. Okay. Right. Correct. In other words, right. In other words, like in our parlance, right? You ruined the dish. You ruined the dish. What do you mean? Meaning you can't eat it. Of course it's edible. It means that it's not good. In fact, you made it worse, but not inedible, says Rashi. It's an important Rashi, obviously. Iga Da'amri, the Gemara now has the second version of Reish Lakish. I'm Reish Lakish. Now in our second version of Reish Lakish, so now the rules of Nosin Tam Lev Gam are going to be much more expansive. And that is, No Saint Tom of Gam Sharmu, Ain't Omrim Kadir Zu Chaser Melch Yisera Melch, Chaser Tavlin Yisera Tavlin, Ella Hashtamia Hafigma. No Saint Tom of Gam, look, I added this ingredient. It's not good. Can I add other seasonings to make it better? Sure. But if Lamaisa, what I'm adding right now, is detracting from the taste of the dish, this too falls under the category of No Saint Tom of Gam. And even though I could add other seasonings, I could add more salt, I could have added less salt, and that would have made the dish better. But according to the second version of Reish Lakish, as long as adding this particular food at this given time is detracting from the flavor, this too now falls under the category of Nosin Tam Lev Gam. In a moment, we're going to see the Gemara in terms of which version of Reish Lakish are we signing with, version number one, version number two. So the Gemara later on will tell us that we're going to be signing with version number two. The Gemara itself will say that in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, next four or five lines of Gemara could be shiurim in of themselves, multiple shiurim in of themselves. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan. Kol shetamo mamasho aser. So, I'm sorry. Kol shetamo mamasho aser velokin alav. V'zeu kezayis bichtei achilas pras. When I have a dish made up of various foods, and one of those ingredients that are added is iser, mamish iser. So, if you eat that dish, and you eat a kezayis of the iser, even though you're not eating the iser all at the same time, the iser that's added is made up of, the dish is made up of other ingredients as well. As long as you're eating a kezayis of the iser, and as long as you're doing so within a time frame of kedei achilas pras, so you have now eaten a kezayis of iser, and you are subject now to malchus. And Rashi writes, and I'm reading the Rashi inside, Rashi writes, "V'al kagon zeh namar shir kezayis bechdei achilas pras halach l'moshe misinai." Now you'll see other gemaras talking about kezayis achilas pras is halach l'moshe misinai, meaning shiurim, right? Like as per the gemara in Sukkah in the beginning, davav dav zayin thereabouts. So whenever we're talking about shiurim, whenever we're talking about quantifying, either in terms of volume or in terms of time, here we're doing both. We're giving a quantity of time and volume. So as long as you're eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras, kezayis is a volume, kedei achilas pras is a time. So as long as I'm eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras, so therefore you are going to be subject to malchus, meaning it's an issur d'oraisa. Rashi continues to write, she'im yesh b'kashir pras, shel tav shel kezayis min iser. Let's say you have the volume of pras. Pras is a larger volume. And within that, you're eating a kezayis of iser, lokin alav, afa pishen kezayis shel iser, nechal bevas achas. Now the chiddush is, here's the following, says Rashi. I'm not eating the kezayis of iser all in one fell swoop. Meaning, the iser is distributed in the dish. But as long as I'm eating it within the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras, so then it's going to be mistar if it will combine. Kevan. De'enu shoa be'achilas so, mishihitz chalokla ad shigamru, ela kedei achilas pras, mitzarefes achilaso, Veloke. So its consumption is all going to be mitzarfo combined with one another, and you will be subject to malchus, meaning it's an esteraisa. Aval im ein bechdechlas prashal tavshi esor hol v'shol bechdechlas okizayis yosem bechdechlas pras havaluk shteachil shol shnei yamim ve'in lokin dekimlu rabbanan dechlas pras havishir shihia achila. Rashi writes, however, if let's say the amount of time that I ate it was longer than a kedeachilas pras, so then it's as if I'm eating the kezayis within 2 days. That's not going to warrant an issa malchus. Obviously, it would still be usher to do it. This is in halacha what would be referred to as chatzi shir, right? Chatzi shir usher in the Torah. Truth of the matter is machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in that last parak of Yuma. But the eating less than a kezayis is still usher, according to Rav Yochanan, it's usher in the Torah. But the point of our Gemara is that if I'm eating the kezayis within the kedei achilas pras, so that is considered like one achila, and therefore you're going to be subject to malchus. That's the first statement of Rav Yochanan. That's the first point of Rav Yochanan. Second point of Rav Yochanan, we turn the page. Tamo velo mamasho, also ve'in lokin alach. Let's say I taste the isser, but there's no mamashos to the isser. The isser is not there in substance. So under those circumstances, it would be also, but you're not going to get malchus. Seemingly, what the Gemara is saying is that if it's not mamushus, if you're not eating the actual physical food itself, but only its taste, so that's not going to be an issa daraisa, it'll be an issa darabanan. Now, I say issa darabanan, I know the Gemara doesn't use such terminology, but the Gemara says you don't get malchus. So, the simplest way to read the Gemara is that because it's an issa darabanan, not an issa daraisa. Okay. Now, here, buckle in. Rashi over here writes, what's an example of tamo v'lo mamasha? An example where I don't have the mamushus of the food. So Rashi gives two examples. Kagon, chalav shenafel kadeira. Rashi's first example on the top of the Amud is milk falling into a pot. Now when the Gemara uses the word kadeira, the Gemara almost always means meat. Meaning that there's meat in the pot. And what happened is that milk goes into the pot with meat. O, chalev shenafel nimuach shein mamasha ben. Or let's say you have fats of an animal. Fat chalev of the animal are the hard striated fats that surround the organs of the animal, that is usher min haTorah to eat. So let's say these fats now get liquefied, and these fats now go into a dish. Because you're not eating solid food, so therefore this is tamo v'lo mamasho. This is the taste of the food, but it's not the mamashos of the food. So there are two really amazing points that Rashi made. I'll go out of order. I'll go to the second point, then I'll go back to the first point. The second point of Rashi is that when the Gemara says tamo v'lo mamasho, what I would have said is that I added the isser to the food, and then I took the isser out. But the taste infused into the food. Rashi says, no, that's not it. Tamo v'lo mamasho means, says Rashi, is that the food's not in solid form. As long as the food's not in solid form, so that's not eating the mamashos of the food, that's just eating the taste. In other words, that liquid now kind of blends in with the rest of the dish, and it says it's not as if you're eating the mamashos, you're just enjoying the tam. So number one, Rashi says that if you have a salad that turns liquid and blends into another food, that's category number two, that's tamo v'lo mamasho. Okay, that's the first thing that Rashi is saying, which is amazing. The other thing that Rashi is saying, which is rather amazing, almost difficult to imagine, is that one of Rashi's examples is milk that falls into meat. Milk that falls into the meat is an example of tamo v'lo mamasho. Now,
evaporates. Huh? It evaporates. Like cooking. So you have no substance, you just have the tam.
Now, within Rashi, I understand it. Meaning, because Rashi is saying, what's examples of tamo v'lo mamasho? When it's a liquid. When it's in liquid form and goes into a dish, so it's an example of tamo v'lo mamasho. But if I take it out of context, aren't we looking at basa b'chalav? Meaning, if milk goes into meat, that's the Torah's example of basa b'chalav. And to say that's not in Issa Daraisa and that's only in Issa Darabanan, so it's rather amazing. Meaning, it's hard to imagine that when you're pouring milk into a dish of meat, and what comes out now is that this is an example of Tama Valama Masho, and you're not going to get Malkus? Of course you're going to get Malkus. That's Basa B'chalav. So some say within Rashi, when I say some say, you'll forgive me, I don't have a Maramakam. Some say within Rashi that Rashi means that when the milk goes into the meat, it means that the meat's not cooking. Meaning that the milk went into the meat and it blended in with the meat, but it's not cooked within the meat. And we know that the Isser Bas B'chalav is only after Bishul. Only with Bishul. But if it's not bishul, so it's not going to be the issur of basar b'chalav. Now I'm going to go back to the Gemara. I'm going to read a little bit more in the Gemara, and then we'll circle around one more time to the beginning of Rav Yochanan's statement. Back to the Gemara. Third comment: Imri b'tam levgam mutar. Now, if let's say when I add the ingredient to the dish and the ingredient is asur, but it's not making a positive contribution to the dish, but it's impairing the dish. So now, under those circumstances, it's mutter because of the principle that we've been spending our entire day learning of Nos and Tam of Gam. To which the Gemara says, Valema, Rav Yochanan, why don't you just simply say, Im Nos and Tam of Gam mutter? Or in other words, so say it even more succinctly and say it even clearer. So the Gemara says, Noel, Rav Yochanan actually wanted to tip his hat to what we learned on the Amud Aleph. Hakamash Blanda, Afagav, Deika Mila Achren Aisa, Dipigma Behadeh, What Rav Yochanan wanted to share with us is that, remember, on the Amud Aleph, there are two versions of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan's teaching us that he favors the second version of Reish Lakish, the more makel version of Reish Lakish. That even though what I'm adding right now is making a negative impact on the dish, it's impairing the dish, but if I add other ingredients that will improve it, doesn't matter. If lamaisa right now, when I'm adding this ingredient, and currently right now it impairs the dish, so that's an example of nosin tam of gam, and therefore it's going to be mutter, even though we can rehabilitate the dish. Okay. If you just turn back to Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, I'm just going to raise awareness. Tosos on the bottom, which is a sizable tosos, starts on the Amud Aleph, goes well into the Amud Beis. So basically what the Gemara describes in category number 2, we have 3 categories of Rav Yochanan. Tamo umamasho, tamo v'lav mamasho, and the 3rd category is where what I'm adding is not making a positive benefit to the dish. What we call nosin tam of gam. In category number 2, there's another way to describe that, and that's what's called tam ki'ikar. Meaning that when I'm not actually eating the physical food itself, but I'm just eating its flavor, that it's contributing. Meaning the principle of tam ki'ikar. Rashi writes in the Gemara in Chulin that tam ki'ikar is not in issur daraisa, meaning that when I have the taste of a prohibited food but not the actual food itself, and that taste now is infused into another food, so then eating it would be asur, unequivocally asur, but it's not in issur daraisa. It's only in issur darabanan. And if you look at what we just learned together, it makes sense. Meaning if you're assuming that tam ki'ikar, as described over there in Chulin, is the same thing as category number 2 of Rav Yochanan's statement over here, right? Meaning Rav Yochanan says that time of Olam HaMasho ain lokin alav. You're not going to get Malkus. Meaning, it's not Nisa Duraisa, it's only Nisa Durabana. And just give me 1 second. What Tosos then does is he launches into a really lengthy discussion of how he doesn't think that's correct. He thinks that the conclusion that Rashi arrived at is an incorrect conclusion. And if you just look at the beginning of the Tosfos, he writes, I'm just reading the beginning. Perish Rashi beperiket anashim mikanda tam keker lav daraisa. Rashi writes that tam keker is not an issur daraisa. Uperish kegon chalav shenafal esoch basar. Rashi over there gives examples. Milk going into meat, right? Like we just saw the Rashi over here. O chalav shenafal nimoch hashem amasha be'en. Or the hard fats of an animal that get liquefied and are added to a dish. And Tosus basically says, how can that be? Meaning milk goes into a pot of meat and being cooked into a pot of meat, and the taste of the milk is going now into the pot of the meat, and you're telling me that that's not Nisa Daraisa, it's only Nisa Darabun? Of course that's an Nisa Daraisa. And Tosos cannot acknowledge or cannot concede that when you have the taste of forbidden food going into another food, penetrating into another food, that's not an issur d'oraisa, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. And so the duration of this Tosfos, what he attempts to do is to explain that tam kicker is really a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. And what we learned over here is different. And Tosos has numerous approaches of how to understand our Gemara and separated from Tom Kaker.
According to Rabbi, the main meaning was by Tom. Does this Tom Kaker even apply because there's no beetle there?
Again, Abai may be just limiting his comments to Yai Nesach. So, and if it's min b'mino, it means I can't taste.
If it If it's going by Tom, then it's not any Min B'Mino.
Right, by Min B'Mino, there's obviously no taste. By Min B'Mino, I can't taste the Isser. Right, correct. Right, right. So in other words,
there should be a concept of bitzel. There's like no, the tam kefir should not really even hold, right? If it's bitzel, there's no, it's bottle.
Come to me afterwards. We'll discuss it more afterwards. Back to the Gemara Samach Zayin Amud Beis. So we're continuing the Gemara Amar of Kahana. Midivrei Kulam Noma Nosin Tam of Gamuter. So Rav Kahana says, I get the gist of today's daf. Meaning, I get it. Right? Everyone's pointing in this direction. The Mishnah, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan. Okay, I get it. So Amalei Abai Bishlam and Mikulo Lechaye. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. From everyone's comments in today's daf, you're right. But El de Reish Lakish, Amru, Kamar, Velelo, Sfirale. So the Gemara says, well, from Reish Lakish, so maybe he himself doesn't subscribe to that. So the Gemara says, what? Mechlal de Ikal Man, Damaros, and Tom of Gamaster? Is there an opinion out there? Meaning, remember, I said in the beginning of the daf today, right? The Gemara says the halacha is not sinam of gam is mutter, as if to suggest that somebody argues, and the Gemara says that's right. In vehatanya, the Gemara here quotes a brisa, and now we're going to introduce ourselves to there is one tana out there who doesn't subscribe to this heter of nosin tam of gam. Vehatanya echa nosin tam of gam veecha nosin tam of shvach aser de Rav Meir. Shita's Rav Meir is that nosin tam of gam is aser. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer l'shvach asel of gam mutter, and Rabbi Shimon says no. If the ingredient is improving the food, then it's aser. If it's detracting, then it's mutter. Meaning nosin tam of gam, like we've been discussing. My time is Rav Meir gama migulu of de kochavim. So the Gemara says, and the basis for Rav Meir is geula of de kochavim. We went to battle against Midian. We won the war. After coming back with the spoils of war, so we had pots and pans that they used that had the blia, had the absorption of non-kosher taste. Geula of the kochavim lam nosin tam of gamu va'aser va'rachmana aser va'aser rachmana hachinami lo shna. Now the Gemara assumes that as the taste is infused in the walls of the pot of the mijanim, so how long does that taste have within the walls of the pot? It's got to have an expiration date, right? You buy anything in the food, nowadays they throw so many preservatives in, but foods all have expiration dates. Taste of foods have expiration dates. The Gemara assumes that by the time that we got the pots and pans and we use them, so the taste inside the walls of the pot are expired. In other words, no sitam of gam. And yet, the Torah tells us, what do we have to do with the pots before we use them? We got to kosher them. Oh. So no, even though it's no sitam of gam, the Torah says that we have to expunge and rid ourselves of that taste. And the counter argument is, no. The Torah over there by the Battle of Midian says that we have to kosher the pots because we wanted to use the pots within 24 hours of their last use. And so therefore the taste in the walls of the pot are not pogum, and that's why we have to kosher them. And the counter argument to that is, no, by that point in time, even within 24 hours, it starts deteriorating. In other words, you're right. At the end of 24 hours, the taste is fully expired. And it's no longer a positive taste. But even within 24 hours, it starts to deteriorate. It's pugum porta, and yet the Torah wants us to kosher it. So in other words, even though it's pugum, still, it has to be expunged, it has to be extracted. Okay. So, what we have is a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Shimon, whether or not nosin tam of gam is mutter aser, but the overwhelming consensus of the Amorayim and our Mishnah back on Samech Hamad Beis is of the opinion that nosin tam of gam is mutter.